Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Science might sound like something that happens in a school lab or perhaps in a scientist's white coat, but my next guest says it can be something creative and fun to do at home with your children or your grandchildren. Dr. Shane Bergen is a physicist, of course, and an associate professor at UCD, and his new book, The Experimenters, is an interactive story that turns kitchens and gardens and family time into playful science adventures. And Shane is here. You're very welcome.
Good morning, Claire.
Congratulations on the beautiful new book.
Oh, thank you.
Science at home then. I mean, isn't science something that you would do in a lab or in school or in college?
Yeah, it can be. And that's where kind of the professionals might do their work. And I'm not suggesting in my book that people should convert their garage into a lab and maybe start a kind of a Breaking Bad style side hustle.
No, we don't want that.
No, I'm saying that, you know, science is a playful thing that you can do at home. It can be cozy. It can be a new way of spending time with your kids, your grandchildren or your nieces and nephews. And you can kind of play with things, you notice around the house, activities, everyday stuff, and look at it in a scientific way. And I think that there's great merit in that. And of course, we all love when we have that opportunity to spend time with the little people in our lives, you know, to have those playful moments.
And we should explain how the book is done, because you're telling the story of these two children who go to visit Granny and Granddad. And then what did they discover?
Well, Luke and Ruby are the two children in the book, and they're based on my niece and nephew. So there's a real life version of them. And they go visit Nanny and Granddad on their midterm. And when they arrive, they discover that Nanny and Granddad used to be scientists when they worked. And so they do what most children will ask when they hear about science is, let's blow something up, right? They have this idea of an extreme person. But the book doesn't go down that route at all, nor does it go down the whole facts and figures. Instead, the Nanny and Granddad character invite the children to do science around the house. So the first little story that they have is about noticing birds in their garden. And the children are helped by Nanny and Granddad, but they drive the story themselves and have a little science notebook to kind of help notice what's going on. And in every chapter, there's a sort of a science cliffhanger, right? Like, so for the birds, it might be like, you know, what's going to happen? What will you see? What will the different birds do when you come to your garden? And before we give the game away in the story, Dr. Shane appears in it, which is me. And I invite the reader to roll up their sleeves and give the science a go themselves. So to say to the boys and girls reading the book, so maybe you should build a fort in your garden or put up a bird feeder or maybe a little bird bath out in your garden and see what comes into your garden. Maybe you should have a science notebook and you can play along with Ruby and Luke.
Yeah. And they're very simple ideas. I mean, the bird watching, obviously, and noting down what you see, and then you move on to what floats, what doesn't float, and why does it float, or why do certain things fall straight to the bottom of the tub of water?
Absolutely. So after being in the garden bird watching, the children have to wash their hands, and so this turns into a game about things that will sink and float in the kitchen sink, and the children have to start making predictions in this chapter. So with bird watching, it was all about noticing. When figuring out about floating, it's about making predictions. So before they have all these kind of toys in front of them, they have to figure out kind of which ones did they think will sink and which will float. And of course, in this chapter again, the boys and girls reading are asked to try it themselves first and to make predictions as to what they think will happen. Mm-hmm. But so every chapter has a sort of a different science skill that the boys and girls might like to learn.
And then you're explaining why the outcomes are as they are, right? And
this
is about finding out how science works in a very gentle way.
Yeah, absolutely. It is quite gentle. There's no equipment needed here. Like, we're talking about baking. We're talking about finding creepy crawlies in the garden. We're talking about planting flowers. We're talking about, as you say, washing our hands and seeing things sink and float in the house. So it's all everyday stuff. I suppose I'm hoping there'll be a little bit of a Mary Poppins character to it too. You're just doing your day-to-day stuff, but maybe with a guide and a book like this, you might be able to start to see the magic. And I have to tell you, I wrote this for the 8-year-old me, right? So yeah, you won't be surprised that when I was a child, I had every science book going.
Did you?
Yeah, I loved it, right? But like all of the, I do remember the man coming to sell the encyclopedias. Do you remember before internet, people would come and sell them? And I was so excited at the idea of mum and dad investing in encyclopedia. And they arrived and I just devoured them. But really, when I was reading them, my imagination was running wild and I wanted to try the sciencey stuff in it. And of course, the book was never able to kind of help me get there. It was just telling me stuff that was already done. I got a little closer when I was about 10 and on a holiday in Enniskillen, my mother, who was trying to get me to modernise my wardrobe, said, if you just try on a pair of jeans, I'll buy you a chemistry set, right?
Yeah. That's the most unusual bribe I've ever heard in my life.
So I put them on, took them off and have never worn jeans since. And I got the chemistry set, opened it up, hadn't a clue what to do with it. Like there was amazing things in there, but I didn't know how to start the game, as it were. And so I've always thought since then, and becoming like a real life scientist, that I would love for there to be more opportunity for children to be able to kind of engage their imaginations through science and to get on and try stuff themselves.
And you're starting at ground level with this stuff to build the foundation, because you move then into music, which I get the sense from the book, you love music, do you?
I think if I had a little bit of more musical talent, I might be sitting here talking to you today as a musician instead of a scientist. I loved it in school.
And where's the science in music?
Well, in the book, Granny is playing the guitar and the children want to play along too, but they don't have any instruments. So the granny suggests, why don't you make an instrument? And she tips out all the recycling gear from the kitchen, clean, I should stress, and perhaps something only a nanny would have time to do. And the children go about building musical instruments. But in doing that, they have to think about where sound comes from in a musical instrument. So if you pull a string tightly, will you be able to get it to make kind of a twang noise? Or if you pull something very tightly, will you be able to make a kind of a simple drum? Or blowing into a bottle, are you able to make a very simple sort of a flute or a whistle? And so, as you can imagine, you leave kids alone with this stuff for a little bit of time and you give them some help, but you don't tell them or show them what to do. I'm sure you have this experience too, Claire.
Stand back a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. And let the chaos ensue and keep everybody away from the sharp scissors, despite them wanting to get it. And you just see where it goes. And that playfulness, that figuring out, that trying things, testing things, can be really productive from a science point of view if you're there to help them, right? Mm-hmm. So you're kind of saying, oh, no, it didn't work. Now, don't give up. What happens if we do or try? Or maybe why do you think that thing worked better than the other thing? And eventually they will have a musical instrument. I've tried this with hundreds of children down through the years in the National Concert Hall there. It always works. All it takes is you giving them a bit of space and having fun with them.
And I'm delighted that you put baking in there. The ultimate science.
Yes, absolutely. And it's no surprise that every year so many bake-off contestants are scientists. I learned to bake with my grandmother and subsequently my mother when she retired. And I remember so many failures there. But crucial in the book here is following the recipe. That matters in baking and it matters in science. Of course, poor granddad has to eat the results.
It matters a lot. The Experimenters is the book. It's beautiful, a really lovely book with some great projects in there to get involved in. It's called The Experimenters, as I say, Luke and Ruby's Scientific Sleepover by Dr. Shane Bergen, and out just in time for a very, very special time of the year, which we won't mention just yet. Let's take a break. Thank you, Shane.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.